Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. Welcome. It's the Arizona Hour of Rosie on the House. It's 7 o'clock hour, the first of our four-hour broadcast. It's a brand new month, so we've got a brand new staycation. It's funny the way things turned out, because if I was to tell you we were sending someone to Goodwin City or Audubon or Aslan, you know, none of those have the same punch as Prescott. I'm glad they finally decided on Prescott for the name of that city.
Wasn't he like a professor at a university, like back in the Midwest or something?
He wrote the history of the conquest of Mexico. So he obviously had some pretty good form of education. But we've only got so much history we're going to fit in this broadcast, because we have two great guests joining us this Saturday. We've got Robert Steve, editor of the Arizona Highway Magazine, and Michelle Thompson, director of communication for Arizona State Parks. And instead of us spending a lot of time sharing history this Saturday, we thought, well, for our local intros and outs, let's get y'all's personal experiences and memories of Prescott area.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. It's always great to be on this show. You know, Prescott, there's a lot of things to do up there. You know, certainly with Arizona Highways, we focus a little more on the outdoors things. And so, you know, for me personally, the hiking and things up there are one of the highlights. Not too long ago, did a hike in the Wolf Creek area up there, which is a, you know, little known spot, I think, you know, even among folks in Prescott. I was up there expecting, I was there on a Saturday, fully expecting to be crowded out by a lot of the locals, and it was a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and there weren't a lot of people out there. But, you know, hiking is certainly one of the highlights. Hacienda Inn, one of the, you know, great old hotels in our state. So, you know, if you're lucky enough to be able to sort of go out hiking during the daytime and hit the hotel at night, it's a pretty good recipe for a great experience in Prescott.
And I believe that's the oldest operating elevator in the state, if I remember correctly.
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what, it's a great elevator. I remember taking my mother up there many years ago, and that's, I think, the only thing she remembers about that experience. But it's a memorable, and you kind of have to see it to really understand it. It's a trip back in time.
And you got the Peacock Room there for dinner if you get hungry. Mm-hmm. Michelle, how about you? Any special memories of Prescott or things to do?
Well, the worst part about Prescott is that we don't have a state park there. But no, Prescott's a wonderful place. It's one of my favorite places to take out-of-town guests. And, you know, they've got some great art galleries. They've got some great shopping. I personally enjoy the fact that there are always so many dogs walking around the town and enjoying the courthouse. So that's one of our favorite weekend escapes up there.
Dan, what's your favorite memories about Prescott?
Well, there's two that really stand out. I spent the 1976 July 4th celebration out at the Embry-Riddle landing strip, where they had the city fireworks celebration for the 200th year anniversary of America. And then, of course, that's the first place Jennifer tackled me and kissed me at the city square.
Well, that must be that's the secret recipe then, isn't it? Goodness. Yeah, what a great time to be in Prescott. I mean, on the bicentennial. Oh, we remember all the lead up to that with the bicentennial minute every night on television, and to be in, you know, one of our historic cities, you know, with that old time town square. Yeah. As it relates to Arizona, I mean, it's such a unique city. I mean, it was modeled after towns in the Midwest because it was founded by Midwesterners, and you've got that town square in a place.
When we had you on about this time last year, you finally completed the description I kept trying to use to describe Prescott. It's, you know, today we've got the Christmas parade starts mm-hmm. at 1, then the courthouse lighting starts at 6, they sing the carol, the Victorian style. It's a Norman Rockwell setting in Arizona.
Yes, it really is. It's in like so many places in Arizona, it's a place you can visit and experience and enjoy all year round. You know, it's wonderful in the summertime. You get a little break from the heat if you live here in the valley, and you know, it's the official, you know, Christmas city there for Arizonans up there this time of year.
Not even 7:30. No matter where you are in Arizona, you could get here by the start of the parade at 1.
Yeah, and I would encourage everyone to do so.
And we brought Robert in to let him just stand on a soapbox and brag a bit. Arizona Highways Magazine is recognized for excellence. Now, we all know that. But at the International Regional Magazine Association Conference, Arizona Highways walks away not 3, 4, or 5 awards. You walk away with 17. Oh, they must hate seeing all the other regional publications must hate seeing y'all show up.
We know what it, we knew what it felt like to be Meryl Streep for one night.
Oh,
you know, it was we're humbled by that. You know, I think it's a testament to the things that you've talked about with me on this show for so many years, Rosie, is just it's a magazine that has this tremendous long history. You know, as an editor, you know, I'm fortunate to be surrounded by not only a great staff, and I have the best staff, but we have all the best contributors, you know, available to us, too, in terms of photographers and writers. And you know, you put all that together, and once in a while you get lucky and win a few awards.
Now, Robert, I have told you this several times. I get probably 12 magazine subscriptions. And I like them all in print in my hand. Not looking at it on a computer screen. And they've all got the editor's letter.
Mm-hmm.
I never read any of them.
Yeah.
But yours, who knew there was an award for writing an editor's letter? What is that about?
Well, I think they were desperate. They were trying to, you know, make us feel good or something. But, well, thank you for, yeah, you and my mom. I think that's how I've told you before. You know, it's good to have Rosie and the mom who can read the column. But it's something that, you know, we try to personalize the magazine. You know, we go into, you know, the homes of families in 120 countries around the world and all 50 states. And, you know, what I try to do in that column is not talk about me, but sometimes give behind the scenes looks at what it's like to be a part of a magazine. You know, next year in 2020, we turn 95. So,
that's awesome.
You know, we're not quite as old as the state, but, you know, we're right up there.
Well, you do a great job for me as a consumer, just kind of teasing what's in that magazine.
Yeah, you know, and
that issue.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I mean, it's sometimes it's a bit challenging too. You know, it's like, boy, you know, we're doing another issue about the Grand Canyon. What can I, what can I say that hasn't been said by all the editors who came before? I'm only the 10th editor, by the way, in that long span. But then something will come out of the blue, or you'll stumble upon something in the archive, and I'll be like, boy, that's an interesting story, and I'll start digging into it, and you'll get a backstory that even people on our staff who've been there a long time are like, boy, I had no idea about that. And we know, like you, we have a lot of subscribers who've been with us for a very long time. And by the way, grateful to each and every one of them, because, as you know, the magazine's not, you know, loaded up with ads. We're pretty dependent on our subscriptions. And we're grateful.
There is a part of me as an old-time Arizona resident that resents the magazine going out to anybody else besides me.
Well, we could arrange that. We would have to raise your subscription price a little, but we can make that happen.
But I do share it exhaustively with clients that are just winter residents. They get subscriptions. A lot of cousins mm-hmm. back east get subscriptions. It was just easier to share it with them when we had a state of 2 million people.
Yes.
Now that we're at 7 million people, I mean, some of these award-winning articles were about some of my most favorite secret spots in the whole state.
Yeah, we get that a lot, too.
I bet you do.
It's a fine line we walk, you know. I mean, our mission is to promote travel in the state. And, you know, there are so many great places. And things like, you know, the state parks, we'll hear more about that this morning. But, you know, those are on a map and on a website, and those aren't secret. But then there's these hidden gems out there, too. And, you know, our sort of guideline is if it's on the National Forest website or the State Parks website or BLM, we figure we're not really, you know, telling where Jimmy Hoffa's buried. You know,
okay.
It's sort of a fair game for us. But that being said, we're always extremely careful. And I've encountered this myself personally, where I'll be out hiking and I'll stumble upon ancient ruins and things that aren't on a map. And so we're careful to never point those places out, because they, in our opinion, should just be left alone, because inevitably somebody's going to come along and vandalize things or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we get the letters. But then on the flip side, you know, it gets people off the couch.
Yeah,
too,
amen.
You know, which is such a, we live in such a great state, and there's so much to see.
Well, y'all got awards for historic writing. You got awards for nature and environment writing. You got awards for travel features, general features, for personal profiles, in mm-hmm. particular on Barry Goldwater. You got winning in photo series. I don't even know who could compete with y'all on photos. I mean, they might as well just fold their cameras up and tripods and go home. But Michelle, one of the articles was about a history event, and it's the Copper City Classic at the Bisbee Warren Ballpark. Now, if someone were going down to experience that annual event, how many state parks are located down in the southeast?
Oh, we have a lot of state parks down in the southern part of the state. And actually, also, our Fort Verde team played in that game down in Bisbee. So we had a vintage Fort Verde baseball team competing down there during those games. So it was, we do have an annual game played up in Fort Verde State Historic Park, but you can visit Patagonia Lake State Park. That's a wonderful park to visit. And even though it's not secret, I still think a lot of people are startled to find that lush green lake right in the middle of where you can camp and hike and fish, and we have really great camping cabins there. Historically, we have Tubac Presidio and also Tombstone State Historic Park down in the southern part of the state where you can learn about Arizona.
And I tell you, Michelle, Tubac, I think it's hard for me to name a favorite, but when you really want to touch ancient European history in Arizona, it's the Tubac Presidio State Park.
Yeah, they have really good exhibits.
Back with Michelle and Robert right after this.